NPR.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Coming up today, we're going to hear from a former new college student who was, for a time, a white nationalist. He's now rejected the movement. We'll hear part of what he said the other night. And then later on, we'll open up the phone lines and take your phone calls. Yesterday, we got into quite a discussion about health care and how to pay for it, whether or not to sign up for the Affordable Care Act, and a bunch of other topics. Here's what two listeners had to say.
This is Lisa from Clearwater. I loved how you called that guy out about him supporting Trump while asking Biden to step down as a candidate. I can't believe the hypocrisy. Second is that article was well written by Tampa Bay Times about the E-Verify, and it said that the farm owners were using E-Verify. It was the Chamber of Commerce who refuses to support and use E-Verify. So you might want to get a rep in from Farm Bureau to speak on the issue of E-Verify. I think they're in compliance. Thanks for your show and welcome back. Bye.
How to pay for single payer. I'd take it from defense. We're making all these nuclear bombs we don't need. Or let's close up those tax havens that the rich are using to shelter their income. That would be billions of dollars into our coffers. And to the guy that called earlier today, eating right and taking care of yourself is great, but one's health has a lot to do with genetics, your environment, the type of job you do. It is not quantifiable. Not drinking, smoking. I was in the gym 5 days a week, and I still got breast cancer. It wasn't my fault. I urge the caller to get health insurance no matter if it doesn't cover everything. I was on Cobra when I got breast cancer, and thank God I was, as the treatment is not the same when you don't have insurance. Carla in Palm Harbor.
A couple of listener comments that came in after yesterday's program. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. I'm Rob Lori. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to open up the phone lines for most of the show today. I want to mention a few stories that we could talk about. And if you want to register your comment, you can call us up at 813-238-8001. You can also email the studio here, and I'll read your email on the air. Our address is dj@wmnf.org. We heard some of these stories on the NPR News just a moment ago. In Washington, the House Judiciary Committee will prepare subpoenas this week seeking special counsel Robert Mueller's complete Russia report, as the Justice Department appears likely to miss today's deadline set by Democrats for the report's release. The Judiciary panel plans to vote on subpoenas tomorrow, a day after the deadline. The chair of several House committees asked for the full report last week after Attorney General William Barr released a four-page summary laying out the report's principal conclusions. Barr said in a letter to the House and Senate Judiciary Committee last week that a redacted version of the full 300-page Mueller report would be released by mid-April, if not sooner. The panel will also vote to authorize subpoenas related to a number of President Trump's former top advisors, including strategist Steve Bannon, communications director Hope Hicks, and chief of staff Reince Priebus. Well, it could be more difficult to change the Florida Constitution by petition. Under a bill approved by a Senate committee yesterday in Tallahassee, the Senate Judiciary Committee approved the bill 4-2 on Monday, with Republicans supporting the measure and Democrats opposed. The new bill places new restrictions on paid petition gatherers. All would have to be Florida residents, and all would have to register with the Department of State. Petition gatherers would have to be paid an hourly salary, and could not be paid based on the number of signatures gathered. Committee Chairman Republican Senator David Simmons said the bill is to protect the integrity of the petition process. Democratic Senator Javier Rodriguez opposed the bill, saying it's an attempt to silence voters. So, do you think it should be harder to change the Florida Constitution through the petition process? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. In New Zealand, lawmakers there today voted overwhelmingly in favor of strong new gun control measures. The bill that's under consideration would ban the types of weapons a gunman used to kill 50 people at two mosques last month in New Zealand. Only one New Zealand lawmaker from the 120-member parliament voted against the legislation. Today's vote was the first of three that lawmakers must pass before the gun ban becomes law in New Zealand. Well, President Trump says Republicans will wait until after the 2020 election to hold a vote on a replacement for Obamacare, abruptly halting a push that he began just last week and guaranteeing that the issue will take center stage in next year's presidential race. Trump made the shift in a series of Twitter posts late last night, saying that the vote will be taken right after the election when Republicans hold the Senate and win back the House. The Trump tweet ended a week-long scramble by GOP lawmakers to come up with an Obamacare or Affordable Care Act alternative after the administration unexpectedly changed its position in a lawsuit by arguing that Obamacare should be completely struck down. Trump's Justice Department had previously said it should only be partially overturned. Final court ruling in that case is likely to come before June 2020. And so we all are awaiting what the Trump health care plan is. Well, in Washington, Senate Democrats have successfully blocked a GOP disaster aid bill, saying it doesn't do enough to help hurricane-torn Puerto Rico. The move escalates a fight between Democrats and President Trump, who opposes further rebuilding aid to the island territory, which was slammed by back-to-back hurricanes in 2017. The $13.5 billion Republican measure would have sped badly needed disaster relief to southern farmers, wildfire-ravaged California towns, and Midwest flood victims. Democrats say more money is needed to help Puerto Rico rebuild its water system and finance additional disaster relief. And they say Trump has acted indifferently toward Puerto Rico and its struggle to recover from two hurricanes 2 years ago. Trump administration is considering hiring a border or immigration czar to coordinate the president's policies across various federal agencies. Trump is considering two potential candidates, former Kansas Secretary of State Chris Kobach and former Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli, both far-right conservatives with strong views on immigration. And again, our phone number is 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. In Missouri, Michael Brown's mother could soon have oversight over the police department connected to her son's death if voters in Ferguson, Missouri elect her to the Ferguson City Council. Brown's mother, her name is Leslie McSpadden, is among three candidates running in Ferguson's 3rd Ward today. Brown, an African-American 18-year-old, was fatally shot by a white Ferguson police officer named Darren Wilson on August 9th, 2014, touching off months of protests in that city. Wilson, the officer, claimed he was forced to shoot when the unarmed Brown came at him menacingly after attacking the officer during a street confrontation. The grand jury's November 2014 decision to not indict the officer sparked renewed unrest. Now the mom, McSpadden, is new at being a candidate, but she's been involved in politics ever since her son's death. So that election taking place today in Ferguson, Missouri. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Well, here's something I think that you might find interesting, and that is that we're about to hear from a former New College student, New College in Sarasota. This is a guy named Derek Black. And Derek was kind of high up in the white nationalist racist movement. David Duke, the Ku Klux Klan leader, is his godfather, and his dad started Stormfront, which is a neo-Nazi website. And this man, Derek Black, was considered to be a rising star in the far-right movement. Last Saturday night on CNN, on the Van Jones Show, Derek Black, the former white nationalist and son of the Stormfront founder, did a lengthy interview with Van Jones discussing the dangers and the rise of white nationalism and the fact that many in the movement now feel bolstered by the likes of Trump and many of the anchors on Fox News. What do you think of this? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's listen to the interview that Derek Black did on CNN the other night.
You know, it's very alarming to me to see at the highest levels, even, you know,
anchors at Fox speaking that way. Does it alarm you?
Yeah. It's really, really alarming that my family watches Tucker Carlson's show once and then watches it on the replay because they feel that he is making the white nationalist talking points better than they have, and they're trying to get some tips on how to advance it.
So what changed you?
Looking back on it, I have realized that it was a change of community. It was that I thought I understood my community and who mattered and who I was responsible for. And I didn't think going to college would change that because I thought we were just right. I thought there was nothing that you could disprove about it. And being at college, especially the first semester before anyone knew my own background, and realizing that there's all these people who are marginalized and attacked because of what I'm saying means that it's absolutely hypocritical to think that I can espouse something that makes their life worse and still feel like I have some connection to their well-being. I have some responsibility to them, and like that was a conflict that was, you know, ultimately impossible to resolve.
You know, it's interesting the way that campus responded to you was mixed.
Yeah.
Once they found out who you were and your family background and your beliefs and your radio show, some students marched against you. They shut the campus down. Get this guy out of here. Other students wanted to kind of argue the points with you. And other students, including Jewish students, said, you know what? We're just going to befriend this guy.
Right.
We're just going to be this guy's friend. How did that land in your world?
Yeah. It was surprising. Like, I showed up to the first Shabbat dinner that I got invited to by a guy, Matthew Stevenson, who I already knew during that period. And I thought it would be a one-off thing. I thought it was possible that maybe people at the dinner will argue against me or kick me out or, you know, something like that. And I was kind of ready for that. I was ready for arguing because I was used to arguing. I was used to talking to journalists about white nationalism and saying why it was right. But what happened was I ended up spending 2 years coming back to the thing every week, or every week that he had it. And that outstretching a hand when they knew that what my family was saying was against their community was had actively made their lives worse in like tangible ways, because Stormfront had espoused anti-Semitism for years and years, and that they still kept inviting me. They still kept, you know, having dinner with me, even though that was always there.
So that push and that pull made a difference. Can we stop this? I mean, do you think that there's a way to begin to arrest this thing or roll it back?
I think the only answer that I've come to is some version of education. And I don't want people to take my story and say, okay, we should invite Nazis to dinner. There's a place for that, obviously. Like, it'd be hypocritical for me to say, oh, you know, what is the point of outreach, right? But I think the first thing you can do is to assert what your values are. And I still don't think we do enough of that.
Well, that's Derek Black, who is a former member of the white nationalist movement on CNN on this past Saturday night. Derek went to school at New College in Sarasota. His godfather, David Duke, of the Ku Klux Klan, his dad started Stormfront, the neo-Nazi website, and talking about what can be done to stop white nationalism. He broke with that movement in 2013 and now goes around the country opposing the movement. But he said something interesting where he said that regarding Fox News, he said, yeah, it's really alarming that my family watches Tucker Carlson's show once and then watches it on the replay because they feel that he's making the white nationalist talking points better than they have. And they're trying to get some tips on how to advance it. 813-239-9663, our email address, dj@wmnf.org. So we're going to open up the phone lines, take some phone calls on these issues. 813-239-9663, email address, dj@wmnf.org. Here's an anonymous person saying it's not Trump supporters shooting at people on baseball fields. That's the anonymous person who didn't sign her name or his name. Well, there have been a lot of shootings, haven't there? And I think it's fair to say that the synagogue shootings where many people were killed, done by a Trump supporter, clearly angry at immigration. It's not to justify the shooting of the members of Congress by that Bernie Sanders supporter, but it's interesting that Bernie Sanders went on the floor of the U.S. Senate within hours of that terrible shooting up there in D.C. about 2 years ago, two summers ago, and denounced this shooter. Luckily, nobody died, and Congressman Scalise is back at work. He was the most severely injured in that shooting. But I think I'd have to take a look, because I don't have the studies in front of me, but I think it's clear that most of the racist or political violence in this country is done by conservatives, far right conservatives, not garden variety conservatives. But Anonymous, thank you for that. And Anonymous, if you care to, sign your name too. That would be great. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. We'll open the phones for a little bit and take your phone calls. And Jan Simpson is our phone producer today. Let's go to Dave in Tampa. Dave, thanks a lot. What are these stories would you like to comment about?
Hey, Rob. Just listening to the former Nazi and just thinking about how he has kind of redeemed himself and how, you know, he seems to be welcomed and accepted as a person who's redeemed himself. And I think we could use a lot more of that these days, the concept of redemption. And I'm going to say, I think the Me Too movement needs to look at that a little bit and take that to heart.
You mean forgiveness?
The redemption. The idea that people make mistakes, they understand their mistakes later in life, and you know, it's kind of people evolve. Their consciousness evolves. Their mentality evolves. The way they see the world evolves. You aren't just a static item that just stays the same because you made a mistake at some point in your life. This guy's a classic example of that, and I really think the Me Too movement ought to take that into consideration. Nothing wrong with what they're saying. I mean, obviously the Me Too movement is progress. But at some point it seems that in this society we brand people and reject them and turn them out, never to be redeemed, never to be, you know, a guy like Al Franken. Surely a guy like Al Franken these days could have some contribution to the national debate. He could be useful. He could be helpful.
Yeah.
But he's been turned out. And, I, you know, if you can redeem a Nazi, you can redeem an Al Franken.
Yeah, so you would open the door to Al Franken coming back into politics.
I would open the door to everybody who's screwed up and done things and, you know, they've been tarred. I mean, if they're genuine and they're sincere, like this guy seems to be, why not accept them? Why not embrace that?
Okay, I think that's a good place to start. Thanks, Dave.
Yep.
All right. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. We had the anonymous emailer who now tells me his name is Jeff and he's in Newport Richey complain about the shooting of people on baseball fields a couple summers ago in Washington, D.C. I just looked up some information about right-wing attacks in the U.S. And I'm just reading from, this is from American Progress, which is a liberal group, but let me say, tell you what they wrote about just a few weeks ago on the American Progress website. It says the murder of 11 Jewish worshipers at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh more than 4 months ago was the most deadly U.S. domestic extremist attack since the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995, but it was far from an isolated incident. The University of Maryland's Global Terrorism Database showed that from 2010 to 2016, right-wing-inspired terrorist acts in the U.S. have grown from 6% of total domestic terror attacks to 35%. The Anti-Defamation League's report, A Dark and Constant Rage, cataloged 150 right-wing attacks from 1993 to 2017, noting that right-wing extremists have been one of the largest and most consistent sources of domestic terror incidents in the U.S. for many years. And the Center for Strategic and International Studies also reported that between 2016 and 2017 alone, right-wing-inspired violence had quadrupled in the U.S. In the latest example, Christopher Hassan, a self-described white nationalist Coast Guard officer, was arrested in February for planning attacks on a target list of prominent Democratic politicians and cable news journalists. For at least 2 years, Lieutenant Hassan visited white supremacist and neo-Nazi websites, researched biological weapons, and improvised explosives, and studied far-right extremist manifestos. Hassan's arrest came only a few months after white nationalist Robert Bowers murdered 11 people and injured 7 more at the shooting inside the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, an attack that appears to have been motivated by anti-Semitism and inspired by his extensive involvement in white supremacist and alt-right online networks. From Charlottesville Unite the Right rally in August 2017 to Cesar Sayoc's attempt to mail bomb, his attempted mail bomb attacks on several of President Trump's most prominent critics, the spread of far-right ideology is inspiring an increasing number of violent attacks that put the safety of Americans at risk. Just reading from an American Progress article from March 7th of this year, and the headline is Confronting the Domestic Right-Wing Terrorist Threat. Let's go back to the phones and take some more phone calls. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. You can also send in your email to the studio here at dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to Sam in Seminole. Sam, you're on.
Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
Rob, I just wanted to say I agree 100% with your last caller about allowing people who have made mistakes in their life to get back into the main part of society, because people are redeemable and they do make mistakes and they can contribute if their heart is right. And I want to just say this, that I was listening to a local talk show program in a radio such as yours. And one of the callers had said that he was very afraid that with the rhetoric that our current president spews all over the television and the internet and all of that kind of stuff, that he's basically empowering white nationalists. And it's like at any moment, and I agree with what this person said, if Trump said, go out and start killing people, he won't really go out and say it like that, but in his little innuendos, that I think that's very possible that could happen for people who are not with Trump, or for people who are not white nationalists.
If the president really wanted to put a halt to this kind of violence and this kind of hatred, what should the president do?
You know what? He should denounce violence in any way against anybody, but he doesn't. He just, you know, and that's what I think he should do. I think he should say, hey, violence in any capacity against another human being, that is not good. We're going to stop that. But he doesn't do that. He goes the opposite direction, and he's just building up the fire to eventually one day say, okay, let's open up the gate for these people that don't agree with me. You find them out and you kill them.
Sam, we've got this listener who's really obsessed with us. His name is Jeff, and he's in Port Richey, and he has emailed in 16 times already this morning, just in the first 20 minutes of the show. Let me just read you something that he said. He said, just keep bringing up your BS, and he spelled out the word, from your libtard echo chambers, I'm going to go listen to Rush Limbaugh. So obviously Jeff is obsessed and he's very angry, using an expletive there. But if Jeff is not willing to listen to this discussion, what do you think that says about Jeff?
I think Jeff is mentally ill, to be quite honest with you. I think that anybody who can hate and be willing to cause harm to another person, and they don't even know that person, and that person has never done anything to them, I think that individual is mentally ill. And I think our president is mentally ill, and I think he preys on people who are mentally ill to do his dirty deeds. So you know what I would say to Jeff, Rob? I would say, hey, Jeff, you need to go get some help.
All right. You
need to go talk to somebody, find out what's going on.
Sam, thanks a lot. Thanks for your phone call.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you. You know, I think we do have to figure out, though, a way to decrease the hate. And, You know, I'm sure Jeff is bristling at the thought that he might be mentally ill, and I'm not gonna join with Sam on that. I don't know Jeff. I do know that Jeff has emailed in about 15 times already this morning, clearly upset at this program and the topic that we're doing. But to you, are you upset that we're bringing up this issue of racist violence in the U.S.? David writes this. He said, thank you for playing the Derek Black interview. I'm a New College alum, and I was impressed and heartened that several New College students took Derek under their wing and helped to change his mind about his racist views. I hope that Trump supporters will someday wake up from their fog and realize that they were wrong to follow President Trump. I think that happened in Germany. Former Nazis later renounced the atrocities committed under Hitler. That guy who mentioned the baseball shooter is a fool. Wake up, writes David. And then Dennis writes this, all social movements require converts to increase their ranks and make them stronger. We should always remember that only a very few people, for instance, Trump, are beyond redemption. That's Dennis's take out there. I mean, I do think that everybody is worthy of being given a second chance. 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. David writes this. He said, WMNF is still the anti-America, anti-free speech network, following the lead of the progressive left, afraid to hear individual free thought that doesn't fit the narrative of the Socialist Democrat Party. David goes on to write, continue to support socialism from above by federal government, deny the facts, and resist everything no matter what. Good for the U.S., resist anyway, not attractive, and everyone sees through it, writes David. And then David goes on to say, support abortion in the third trimester, and this will put Trump back in the White House. And then David goes on to write, WMNF is the broadcasting hate network. All right, David, thanks a lot. We did read your email in its entirety, and if you... if you think that we're somehow anti-free speech, well, I think people have to make up their own minds about that. Thank you for writing. 813-239-9663. We've got all men calling in. That's good. Let's see if we can get some women to call in. We've got two open lines. Let's go to Tom in Winter Haven. Tom, you're on. What would you like to say?
Good morning, and by the way, welcome back.
Hey, thank you.
I'm calling because I'm a longtime Polk County resident, and came here in 1975 at a time when all elections were won and lost in the Democratic primary. There were no Republican candidates. We are still that way over here because we're kind of sleepy. We call it the sleepy Democratic Party. But what I wanted to mention to you was about the KKK in Polk County. The KKK was a very large element in Polk County, and if you think it still is, you're right. In the last election, Trump ran, they paid people to go door to door, $10 an hour.
How do you know that?
Because I have friends who were knocked on their doors and they were following a walk list. And they were doing what any good politician would do, and that is go door to door and meet the people. I went door to door in 2008 for President Obama. And I knocked on the door of a gentleman in Lake Wales. Knocked on his door. He's a white gentleman, came to the door, and I gave him a piece of literature on President, or then to be President Obama. He says, I'm not voting for any black man. He was a registered Democrat. Now, the history will tell you that the KKK tried to take over the Democratic Party years ago. So that's why many registered Democrats are KKK people. That will not happen next time, by the way, I want to assure you. Because the Democratic Party has come alive in Polk County, and they are not going to wait until 3 weeks before the election to get busy.
All right. Well, Tom, thanks a lot. Thank you for calling in. And I'm still curious about how you know. I mean, I heard what you said, how you know the KKK paid people to go door to door. But does the KKK advertise? Does it have chapters? Does it have public meetings?
Well, no, they never do have public meetings. They've been a secret organization forever. In Lake Wales, there's a barber over there that's former head of the KKK. If you want to go talk to people about what the KKK is doing, go ask him. So, I mean, it's a real fact that we're having to deal with over here. And by the way, like I said, the activity on the part of those who do not want to see them succeed next time is already underway and is huge.
Yeah, Tom, I remember two reporters that worked for the Lakeland Ledger, Terry Tomlin and Tom Arthur, in the 1980s, early 1980s. They exposed the fact that the Polk County Sheriff was a member of the KKK, a leader in the KKK. And I think they won some awards for those stories that they did. Both Terry has passed away and Tom is still around. But I certainly remember reading those stories and talking to Terry and Tom way back in the early 1980s about Polk County.
Well, KKK has always been a secret organization, and they're going to remain that way. But I just want to tell you, or predict, that the next time there's an election, they will not succeed. And by the way, just as an outsider, I've been accused of being a thinking outside the box person. Instead of controlling all these weapons and so forth that they're also upset about, how about just controlling the ammunition? When you want to go, if you're a target shooter and you want to take and shoot, go to your favorite Target store or place where you buy weapons and ammunition, and purchase enough bullets to shoot at your target. Okay, let's say it's five. So you want to come back in, you want to shoot again, bring back five empty cartridges, we'll give you five more.
All right.
That way you won't have 80 people killed at one time.
Yeah, all right. Tom, thanks a lot. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, sir. My pleasure.
All right. Great to hear from you. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. Sound guy wants to turn it to Russia. He writes this email. Trump asked for help from Russia. Trump received help from Russia. Sound guy goes on to write that Trump benefited from help from Russia. Trump rewarded help from Russia. Russia, if you're listening, I hope you can find the 300 pages that are missing. I think you'll be rewarded mightily by our press, writes Sound guy. All right, Sound Guy, thanks for that. Let's go back to the phones, and we're going to go to David in Tampa. David, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. I wanted to make a comment on the earlier caller who talked about, you know, forgiveness, and let's be a little bit more lighthearted and so forth. I want to draw attention to what's going on in Florida legislature right now, where it's a full-on push to eviscerate the felon law or the felon amendment. It was just approved by everybody. And by that, I mean coming up with making people pay court fees and that sort of thing after they have served a prison time. Hey, after you've been in prison, you cannot get a job. B, most of these people, I would think, have very little money. So it's another way to just stop them from voting. And it's shameless. I've been watching this on WEDU channel that covers the Florida legislature. And I'd like to specifically call out Representative James Grant from Tampa. I hope he's remembered for this for a long time, because he's the point man in the legislature on adding more restrictions for people to vote. People who have friends and relatives that have been in trouble with the law and do understand the importance of forgiveness and starting over. So just a shout out to that, the previous call. Thank you, Rob.
All right, David, thanks a lot. Thank you. Yeah, Jamie Grant is in the lead of trying to roll back Amendment 4. He's a state legislator from the Tampa area. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Charles in Tampa writes this email. He says, your listener, Jeff in Newport Richey, sure likes to project the way he blindly slops up propaganda onto you. Although, I have to admit, it always makes me laugh when they stoop to say ridiculous things like libtard, writes Charles in Tampa. Let's go to Kevin in Bradenton. Kevin, you're on MNF. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Rob, thank you for this program. I think it's fabulous. You know, I do believe that what you're hitting on today is one of the most important issues of our time. Yeah, I do believe that, you know, there's several things that everybody's concerned about. Climate change, wealth inequality is one of my biggies. But this one, the one about hate and about the violence. I mean, I've mentioned this before. After I saw the monsters are due on Maple Street, that it does seem like hate is a weapon of mass destruction. And it's obvious that hate spreads like wildfire. Now, when you think about what that previous caller said about the KKK and how they had power because they were basically anonymous, if they had come out in the open, it might not have been as easy for them. Well, the internet is the new place of anonymity for people that espouse hate speech. And I don't know that there's any way that they can control that, but it is spreading. It is a serious issue. It is underreported. And I also believe that you hit the nail on the head when you tried to explain to Jeff that actually a majority of the domestic terrorist incidents have certainly been caused by right-wing extremists. That's so easy to find that I'm sure that he hasn't really tried that hard. But anyway, having said all that, I just want to thank you because I don't hear this type of talk or this type of program anywhere else, and it's just another reason to support you and WMNF.
All right, Kevin, thanks a lot. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right, 813-239-9663. Yoda writes this. He said, tragically, most Americans have been trained to not let facts or truth get in the way of their beliefs. Thank you for that. DeMarco writes this. Just in the last few weeks, President Trump has threatened his political opponents with violence and threatened the use of machine guns on immigrants. This is fascism, and anyone who supports this is un-American, writes DeMarco. Let's go to John in Port Richey first. John, you're on. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for having the show, and I appreciate WMNF more than some of those other listeners. A couple of things. I'm coming to the conclusion that I think conservatives lack empathy for other people. I have a brother-in-law whose representative is Jim Jordan, and also I think they don't experience those things that other people do, so they're anti-policies that would help people. So, for example, my brother-in-law, his representative is Jim Jordan. His family listens to Fox. The area that they live in are huge Trump supporters in Ohio. He was a big Fox listener. You talk to him, I could tell he was that. I really don't talk politics with him. He lost his job, and then he had to go get some benefits from the state, and he's turned to a Democrat now because he sees where those policies are helping people in need. And I think that's a big issue with conservatives is that they have the health care, so they don't care if other people don't have it. They don't have the empathy for them. They don't have to go through that situation, so they don't know what these people are going through. All they say is, oh, just go get a job, or we'll do this. So I think that's a big part of it right there. And the second part about WMNF spreading hate over the airwaves, I've listened to you guys for a long time, and I've listened to Rush Limbaugh, and I've listened to Hannity, and I've listened to Mark Levin. I've listened to them for a long time, maybe not as many hours, but I have never really heard any host of WMNF come out and say, I hate those conservatives. I hate those people. They're evil. They're anti-American. But I hear Levin saying that all the time about how he hates liberals. I hear Limbaugh say how he hates liberals. I hear more hate and fear propagated on those conservative radio stations. The callers are different on WMNF. There's some that do and some that don't. But the hosts themselves who run the show, I have not really heard them spread that much hate or fear.
Well, John, thank you for that. I mean, that's the way we feel down here is that we feel that we have a conversation and we want to listen to people and we try not to name call. I think some of our listeners do name call and we'll transmit that on the air. But some of those
call them out on and you say, that's not right. We don't want to do that.
Yeah. Now, and some of our listeners are liberal and some are conservative. So they use their own names for the other side. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was just going to say you might find some exceptions to some of that. There might be some of the hosts that might be a little more adversarial. I don't know if that's the word, but yeah, and they're belittling too to the side that they don't like. You know, they're always. I swear. I don't think these people that listen to Limbaugh really get the irony of him. I was listening to him. He was talking about Harry Reid when he had that little accident one Christmas, and he was saying that, oh, the liberals have degraded to calling grade school or schoolyard name calling. So he's going on this diatribe about how the liberals have all they've got is name calling for the conservatives, while he's making fun of Harry Reid, calling him Dingy Reid, using name calling, school playground language there, name calling. And I'm like, that is so ironic. He's chastising the conservatives about having only name calling while he's using name calling to do that.
All right, John, thanks a lot. Yeah, name calling probably didn't start with President Trump. Rush Limbaugh certainly goes back and had names for Harry Reid. And then Rush Limbaugh, of course, referred to some women as feminazis. I do think we got to tone it down. I mean, I don't think it helps when liberals name call. I don't think it helps when moderates name call, nor when conservatives name call. And if we could tone it down a little bit and just get to the issues, I think we'd be a lot better off. Leah writes this, your caller Jeff, or your emailer Jeff, calls this an echo chamber and then moves to his own echo chamber, Rush Limbaugh. Well, that's pretty hypocritical. I think from the perspective of people who are moderate or liberal or progressive, I think for those people who are listening to this radio station, I think people listen to this radio station because they can't find kind of moderate, sensible, liberal or progressive voices on any other local radio station. So when you tune in to AM Talk Radio and you hear, as John just said, Mark Levin, who really specializes in name calling, when you hear his show at night or Rush Limbaugh, bashing liberals all the time, there's nothing a liberal can do that Rush Limbaugh likes, and he's got a history of name calling. I think people who are moderate and liberal and progressive are looking for a safe haven where they can have a thoughtful conversation. So, I think that's the beauty of WMNF. It's one of the few places where if you're concerned about peace and social justice, if you're a human rights activist or a civil rights activist, if you're in a labor union, this is where, you know, you can have a thoughtful conversation about the issues that you really care about. And it doesn't happen on any other, certainly AM radio here in the Tampa Bay area. It just does not happen. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Paul in Dunedin. Paul, you're on MNF. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Long-time listener. To overuse a phrase, ignorance of history, you're bound to repeat it. And if we look back at what's happened in the past 40, 50 years, we can see some of those parallels, although it's maybe not a direct correlation. But my point is this. Are there some methods in which we used in the past to mitigate some of this radical behavior, I'll call it, or this ultra-conservative, I hate people behavior, with some technology that we have today that they may have used in the past that would put information out to the general public that is a little more balanced, a little more, hello, this is really what's going on, folks, if you pay attention. Like, I don't want to wind up being part of the European, where they dropped a bunch of leaflets over Europe after World War II to help people, you know, find out where food was. But there's some crazy stuff going on, and you know, you see it, I see it, with the guy in the White House, with Republicans backing him up, with some other folks locally saying, yeah, this sounds like a good way to go, make some more money short term, but you know, the long term looks kind of rough. Anyway.
Well, this is not repeated.
What did we do in the past to help mitigate some of this insanity that we're seeing?
Yeah. Well, these days, media is unlike anything that we've had in history. But I do think that We've got to start, as somebody said earlier, with education. We've got to start with media literacy. I get all sorts of things from people, and some emails are true, and you can back
emails,
them up with evidence.
If you get emails out of date, I think there's got to be other, newer technologies. Social media. Emails out of date. I hate to say that, but more whatever Snapchat or some other type of thing. Ask your 20-year-old kid, what do they use? How do they communicate? That should be our method to say, hey, guess what? This is what's happening, and here's an example as to a parallel of what happened in the past. And learn from this, kids, because by the time I'm old enough to retire, I don't want to see brown shirts running around the streets.
All right, Paul, thanks a lot. Yeah, I was only going to make the point that I think we have to have some media literacy, and no matter what the avenue is that you get this information, we've got to be able to see whether it checks out and whether you could take it to the bank and whether you get it from Instagram or Facebook or you get it from email. We have to show people how to fact check the information they get to make sure that it is accurate. And that's something that I think begins in grade school and high school and certainly in college. There should be media literacy classes. And I think a lot of people are quick to send things, post things on Facebook and other places that don't turn out to be true. And how do you check to see whether or not something is backed up by the facts? That's something that we ought to teach to all levels of our education system. We're still getting calls from all men. Paul, thanks a lot for your phone call. We've got one open line. If you are of the female persuasion, please call us because we haven't heard from a woman at all today. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to John in St. Pete. John, you're on WMNF.
Hey, Rob, how you doing?
I'm good.
The problem I see is the Democratic Party. I'm a former Republican. I would never vote Republican ever again because of Donald Trump. But the Democrats need to get somebody that's strong and stand up to this man. You can't appease a bully, and you can't reason with these people. You really can't. So we need a dynamic, strong, progressive leader that's not going to put up with this stuff. And you can't reason with these people. I have friends that are avid Trump people, and you can't reason with them. They just believe anything that they want. So talking just is a waste of time. We have to harass. We have to be in their face. We have to force our issues out there because they'll just dismiss us. And so far, they're winning at doing that. So we have to stand up to the bullies. Like the mayor of Puerto Rico said, or San Juan.
Yeah.
You punch a bully in the mouth. That's the only thing they understand. I'm sorry to say that, but I talk to them reasonably, and they don't get facts. They don't want to listen. They don't want to talk. So how do you handle somebody like that?
Well, I understand why the governor of Puerto Rico is standing up to the president because his island is still hurting. So he wants to demand that the aid not stop. The president wants to stop the aid to Puerto Rico. I understand that. But also, go ahead.
We can't be Neville Chamberlain trying to appease Hitler.
Well, you certainly don't want to appease Hitler, but here's the thing: is that how do you get somebody to come over to your side? How do you prove that what's in your heart is pure, and what you're suggesting is the honest truth? Do you hit somebody over the head with a 2x4? I don't think you do.
You go around them and you get new voters. That's what you do because you're not going to change these people. You get more voters on your side that aren't like them. That haven't bothered to vote. That's the only way you're going to do this, because these people they're ideologues that are extreme. American ISIS.
I hear the desperation in your voice. I understand, and I think that is the challenge of our time. John, thanks a lot.
Sure.
All right. Good to hear from you. What do you think about what John said? 813-239-9663. Ron in West Tampa says this: I'm glad you're having this conversation. It's the only way we can resolve our concerns about racism and hate group issues. There's so much anger out there. I wish I knew why. maybe due to Trump's urging, and that's Ron in West Tampa. Ron, thank you very much for that. Elijah writes this regarding your anonymous emailer, Jeff. Elijah writes this, Jeff is doing exactly what Trump does, saying falsehoods with no backing to his claim. It just sounds good to themselves and only themselves, writes Elijah. 813-239-9663. BT writes, did Trump say this? If you see anybody from the cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd and you push back on them and you tell them they're not welcome anymore anywhere. And BT points out this was a Democrat. I think that was Maxine Waters that said that. So BT, thank you for that. I think it's okay to talk to somebody in a moderate voice to say you disagree with their policy, especially if they're an elected official or a cabinet member. It is not okay, and I agree with BT on this one. People are allowed to go out to restaurants and should be able to go out to restaurants and eat. But if they are an elected official, if you want to give them a piece of your mind for a minute, I don't see anything wrong with that as long as you're polite. BT, thank you for that. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Noelle in Lithia. Hi, Noelle. You're on M&F.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm really liking your show today, and just thought I'd call in and give my opinion on climate change and the current administration, and how it's just, it's pretty upsetting that this, you know, big business and these politicians aren't paying attention to, you know, what's happening in, for us and for humanity and for the planet. And everything I do all the time, I try to, you know, recycle, bring things home to recycle, try to find other ways to use things. And I feel like people in power aren't really helping the situation. And I feel like it's up to us as a people to do everything we can, little by little, whatever little, how little it is, you know, we should be doing it. So.
Yeah, Sean had an interview yesterday on Midpoint in which by the end of this century, seas could rise as much as 8 feet by some predictions. So, yeah, climate change is huge, especially if you live along the water here in the Tampa Bay area. You got to be concerned about it. So, yeah, and I wish the politicians would do more.
Right. So I feel like if just people in general, if they could do whatever they can, even just besides throwing things in the recycling, then what other ways can we help? You know what I mean? Because we can't rely on people empowered to do the right thing. That's for sure. So it's kind of like we have to help ourselves with the matter. And
Noelle, do you have kids by any chance?
Yeah.
So it's sending the right message to the kids that you care about the planet, you care about their future, and maybe when they grow up, they'll figure out a solution to some of the big climate change and pollution problems that we have.
Even like when we go to fast food restaurants, you order a salad. The plastic salad comes in is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I cannot throw it away. I bring it home.
Yeah, it is terrible. There's got to be better packaging for sure. Noelle, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, great to hear from you. Thanks for breaking the gender barrier here at 2 minutes before the end of the show. Let's go to Jack in Ellenton. Jack, you're on WMNF.
Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
I back in the early 70s, I was working in my front yard, and I don't remember if it was you, but it was somebody from WMNF came by, and they had this cockamamie story. I think I gave them $10. Quite a bit of money.
It could have been me, or it could have been Cam or Ed or one of the many other canvassers.
Anyway, I'm glad you did it, and I'm glad I reached in my pocket.
I'm glad you did, too.
I'm glad you're back.
Okay. That's great, Jack. Were you living in Ellenton at the time?
No. Yeah. No, it was North Tampa.
Yeah, because we didn't really go to Ellenton. We went to St. Pete, Clearwater, Tampa, Seminole. Davis Island was big for us. Brandon, yeah.
Anyway, it worked.
It did. It did. Who'd have thunk it?
Well, we don't have much time for my comment, but this whole narrative, and it started in the AM radio, venue, and it's now unfortunately bled off into TV. It's become kind of common, but you know, Democrats, liberals are no longer the opposition party. They are the opposition. And according to their narrative, I guess if you're a Democrat, you're a liberal, then that makes you a progressive, and you get on down the line, a socialist and a communist, and we're all trying to bring about some nefarious New World Order.
Yeah, and I haven't gotten my marching order, so I'm not quite sure where to take us, Jack, but maybe you know what the marching orders are.
No, that's the way
we're characterized.
The way that they see it.
Jack, we're out of time, but thank you so much, and thanks for giving that donation all those years back. This is WMNF in Tampa. Your hero, Mark Biro, is next.